from KQED.
In the 40-plus years Jerry Brown has been in California politics, he's been called a lot of things. Brilliant, wacky, unpredictable, loner. And this week, as he unveiled his state budget proposal, he described himself as something else. A backstop against irrational exuberance.
Everybody wants to see more spending. That's what this place is. It's a big spending machine. You need something? Come here and see if you can get it. Well, but I'm the backstop at the end, and I'm going to keep this budget balanced as long as I'm around here.
So is this Jerry Brown 2.0 or vintage Brown going back to the future, reminding everyone that he's no tax and spend liberal? Sacramento Bee columnist Dan Walters has covered the Capitol and Jerry Brown for most of Brown's quixotic career, and he joins us now. And first of all, Dan, let me just put that very question to you. Is Brown's characterization of himself this week as, you know, kind of restrained, prudent, and so on, is that the same Jerry Brown who was governor the first time?
It really is kind of the same Jerry Brown. He's always been a little cheap, and there's always been a kind of a conflict, an internal conflict, if you will, between Jerry, the bleeding heart liberal, and Jerry, the skinflint. I remember he used to say that teachers should be satisfied with psychic rewards rather than higher salaries, for example, years ago. He took away bureaucrats' briefcases then. Since now, he takes away their cell phones.
And how did it go over the first time around? Was he someone who got along pretty well with Democrats that controlled the legislature? And are we seeing that this time? Or are there some, you know, perhaps storm clouds on the horizon where he may be disagreeing with some of the priorities he's laying out?
Well, the big difference is that his parsimoniousness in those days, Jerry Brown 1.0, was more symbolic and rhetorical than it was actual. He really didn't care very much about governing California in those days. He was running for something all the time. He ran for governor in 74. He ran for president in 76. He ran for re-election in 78. He ran for president again in 80. And he ran for the U.S. Senate in 82. So his first governorship was basically one extended political campaign. He really wasn't very much interested in what happened in California. One year, in fact, he signed the budget without making a single line item veto. He just didn't really care that much. This time he's really engaged in governing, and therefore that cheapness actually has an effect. It's not just rhetoric. It's not just symbolic acts. He actually kind of more or less practices what he preaches. And I say more or less because he's not really being as frugal or as budget balancing minded as he pretends to be in this particular case.
Meaning what?
Well, the budget is balanced on paper only if one ignores certain things. Yes, the budget would pay all of the bills that the state would have to pay during the forthcoming year, but it borrows more money. It borrows $500 million from the cap and trade fund. It basically borrows a bunch of money from counties by taking money from them and then saying, we'll figure out later how much you really owe us on some very complicated budgetary maneuvers, and it ignores some very serious matters that basically does nothing. It does nothing, for example, about the California Teachers Pension Fund's request for $4.5 billion more a year. It says it needs to remain solvent. It does nothing about the long-term and ever-growing unfunded liability for state employee retiree health care. So it's balanced, but if you were to take care of all of those things and you wouldn't borrow the money that he's borrowing and all that stuff, you really put all that into the equation, this budget's about $10 billion out of whack.
Well, be that as it may, this is a relatively optimistic budget. The revenues are growing for the first time in a long time. And after all these years of cuts that Democrats have gone along with, can he stand up, will he stand up to this, you know, what's bound to be a demand for spending at least some more money than he wants to spend on social services and other things that Democrats care about?
The answer is, I think he feels he has to for this reason. First of all, the spending that's in that budget is largely dictated by constitutional guarantees for schools, constitutional guarantee money, and for this new money they're giving the counties for realignment. That's now in the Constitution as due to Proposition 30 passed last year. So he doesn't have an awful lot of choice about those things. The only real choice in this thing might be on the revenue side, not on the spending side. Clearly, Jerry sent orders to his bean counters to be very, very conservative on the revenue side, to not have any irrational exuberance on the revenue side, and if anything, come in on the low side. And it actually, it's kind of in a way smart politics. It's much easier to come back later, a few months later, and say, guess what? We've got some more money than we thought we had, rather than have to go back and say, guess what? We overspent what we have, and now we got to cut.
All right. Dan Walters, columnist for the Sacramento Bee. Thanks so much, as always.
You're welcome.